From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. A recall of 300 million eggs this week. Hundreds sickened across the country from a strain of salmonella linked to eggs from one Iowa firm. Thankfully, no deaths reported. This hour, we ask how it happened, how you can protect yourself, and about the likely fallout of the egg contamination. My guests include Dr. Michael Pentella of the State Hygienic Laboratory, Kevin Binchattel of the Iowa Egg Council and the Iowa Poultry Association, Terry Childers of Iowa State University, and Jerry Flagel of the Iowa Grocery Industry Association. Will the egg recall change your shopping behavior? Our conversation starts after this news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Glad to have you with us over the noon hour. After this week, it's likely you're putting a bit more thought into choosing that carton of eggs at the grocery store. The recall of 380 million eggs from Iowa's Wright County Egg is one of the largest shell egg recalls in recent history. And this hour, we ask how the contamination happened, how you can protect yourself, how it can be prevented in the future, and about the likely fallout of this egg contamination. Joining us, first of all, for the first half hour, Dr. Michael Pentella, Associate Director of Infectious Diseases for the State Hygienic Laboratory at the University of Iowa, joining us by phone. Good afternoon, Dr. Pentella. Dr. Pentella, are you there?
Good afternoon, Ben.
Great to have you with us, Doctor. And also joining us, Kevin Binchattel. He is the Executive Director of the Iowa Egg Council and the Iowa Poultry Association, joining us from the studios of Iowa Public Radio in Des Moines. Kevin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's start with you, Dr. Pentella. Give us some basics about how eggs become contaminated with salmonella.
Well, there's a couple of ways. The simplest way is in the fecal material from the chicken, you find salmonella. And it can then get on the surface of the egg, and it can be contaminated. The egg, when you're handling the eggs, your hands can become contaminated, so washing your hands become very important. In very rare instances, there are the potential of the salmonella organism entering the egg itself.
How does that happen? Because we've heard of it getting on the shells and having to wash not only eggs but poultry in general when you cook some chicken. But how would it ever get inside the egg?
Well, in the bird itself, during the process, the organism enters into the egg. So it's part of the egg, and that's why eggs need to be handled appropriately, kept at refrigerated temperature, mm-hmm. and handled right in your home.
Now, when the salmonella gets into the egg, is that an indication in any way of how the chicken was kept?
No, I don't think you can say that. Mm-hmm. It just is a general process of the salmonella being part of the normal flora of the gut of that chicken.
Kevin Binchattel, Executive Director of the Iowa Egg Council and the Iowa Poultry Association. Now, the role of the Iowa Egg Council is what? To promote the eating of eggs, right?
The increased consumption of eggs and egg products, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. What has been your reaction to the recall here, of massive recall, 380 million eggs coming from an Iowa company?
Well, first of all, I think it's important for everyone to understand this is an ongoing investigation. And so it's inappropriate for me or anyone else right now to speculate on what the results of that investigation are going to be. One thing that I can assure you is Iowa's egg farmers are all about producing a safe, healthy, wholesome product. And we are for sure going to take a look at whatever results are produced and understand if there are changes that we need to consider and what those might be.
You can't speculate on the outcome of the investigation. Can you tell us exactly what the FDA is investigating in this case?
Well, I'm getting my news the same way you are from what's being put out by the FDA and others in their news releases, and it's my understanding they're investigating the connection of an egg farm in Iowa to some illnesses in states across the country from, as I understand it, shell eggs.
Mm-hmm. What has the Iowa Egg Council done specifically in reaction up to this point to this egg recall?
Well, you know, of course, we've done a lot of media interviews and things like that. And one of the things that food safety is not just any one part of the whole chain. It really goes from farm to table. And Dr. Pentella, you know, talked about proper storage of eggs and things like that. And that's very important for people to understand. I'm interested, are going to be very interested in what this investigation shows where the end uses of these eggs. Because, of course, we never recommend using an undercooked or a raw egg product in anything. Salmonella, if in fact it got in the egg, if you cook the egg thoroughly, you've destroyed that organism. So I think, you know, we'll be interested to see on the use end exactly what those uses were. And, you know, on the production side, the goal is always to avoid anything like this getting into the chicken. And there's a number of things that an egg farmer can do. We have what's called the NPIP program, the National Poultry Improvement Plan. And for a hatchery that participates in that, you can you know, be guaranteed that your chicks that you're purchasing are going to be free of this disease.
Mm-hmm. So
how can it get into a system? I mean, there's a number of ways, and, you know, rodents are a cause that people are always concerned about, you know, that can happen in any kind of production system. So you have to look at the management of the system and understand what steps you can take to make sure that you minimize risk.
What is the role of the Iowa Egg Council in furthering the safety precautions surrounding egg production? Can you do anything there? I mean, the FDA has guidelines, but what do you do?
As an egg council, we tend more to focus on the consumer because the egg farmers themselves have various steps that they're already taking. We don't tend to focus on the production side. We tend to focus on the consumer side. In the modern world of food production and processing and sales and such now, you know, different companies may have their own requirements for egg farmers to use in producing their eggs. Mm-hmm. And so there's not just a one-size-fits-all thing. I mean, you know, brand X over here may require their egg farmers to do A, B, and C. Brand Y may require A, B, C, D, E, and F. So that is going to be there's not just necessarily one standard or one protocol that everyone's going to follow in production.
Right. You say you're focused on the consumer, but we see here very clearly that the consumption is very much tied to production, especially when production makes news, as it seems to have here, in a disastrous way with 380 million eggs being recalled. The FDA now says the outbreak could have been prevented if new rules to ensure egg safety had been in place earlier. And according to the news that I've read, these were first toughening of these safety standards were proposed for eggs under President Clinton. Now, first to you, Kevin Vinchattel, why didn't egg producers go to these tougher safety standards on their own? Because we're certainly going to see some reaction by the consumer, right?
Well, there are egg farmers out there who have been, in my understanding, doing SE testing on their own for a number of years. And again, that goes back to different retail outlets, different brands, et cetera, might have different production protocols for people to follow. Now, on the proposal of the rule, and I've heard it characterized that the egg industry even fought this, and I would say that's a mischaracterization. I would say what the egg producers, egg farmers worked on was how to try to make the rule better and more effective. Sometimes when an agency or anyone else proposes an idea, you know, the end result may be simplistic and sound very good, but the details on how you make that effective are often quite a different thing and can take a lot of time to work out. So from my experience, I would say that the egg farmers, through their, especially the national organizations, have worked on how to better this rule and have worked closely with FDA on how to make a better rule, and now that's in place. Now, in response to could it have prevented, the hierarchy of that rule, and I'm going to do it very simplistically here, but basically it's testing pullets before they go into the lay houses, and the pullets would be the chicks after they've grown out, getting ready to go into production, and then testing those birds at about 40 to 45 weeks of age. And if you were to find any environmental positives, then you'd go to a heat-treated diversion and continue to do that for the life of the flock, or you could continue to test eggs and make sure that you had and the number escapes me right now. It's either, I think, either 4 or 6 samples of 1,000 eggs from a flock that are going to test negative, and then you know it's not. And then you know it's not in the bird, in the egg, and such, and then those can go back to shell eggs. So that's a very simplistic look at it. So it is another tool. But people shouldn't think that there was no testing going on, because, you know, some people were already required to do that under what the retailers were requiring.
I want to turn to Dr. Pentella, Kevin Binchottel. I want to turn to the Associate Director of Infectious Disease for the State Hygienic Laboratory at the University of Iowa. I'm not sure how much you know about these new rules that the FDA is now saying it could have prevented this. What is your read on that, Dr. Pentella?
Well, I've looked over the new rules, and I think they're a very good idea to prevent infections such as this. But as was being described, there's a lot of different ways that this can occur, and certainly you have to look at the entire process.
Mm-hmm.
Salmonella enteritis is an organism that is found in chicks at times. You can find them not only associated with eggs, you can also find it associated with chicken in your grocery store.
Right. Poultry is the leading cause in food poisoning outbreaks. Why, Dr. Pentella, is poultry such a cause of food poisoning?
Well, when it's associated with the salmonella, it needs to be handled appropriately so that the organism does not have that opportunity then to be ingested by the person who consumes that food.
I guess what I'm really asking, is it the nature of the animal, in this case a bird, the nature of this animal, or is there something to be said about the way we are handling and raising these animals?
Well, I think it's more the nature of the animal that it has this as part of its normal flora. Now, as was described by Kevin, there are efforts to prevent that from occurring in various flocks, and those are good recommendations and certainly one successful way. But then on the other hand, handling it appropriately, thoroughly cooking your egg product or your chicken is very important. You also have other enteric pathogens that are associated with other food stuff that you need to consider. And also looking back at outbreaks like the peanut butter and salmonella. So salmonella does occur, and we have to handle things properly to prevent it.
Okay. Dr. Michael Pentella, please stay with us. We're going to take a short break. Dr. Michael Pentella with us from the Associate Director of Infectious Diseases for the State Hygienic Laboratory located at the University of Iowa. Also with us, great to have Kevin Binchottel, Executive Director of the Iowa Egg Council and the Iowa Poultry Association. We'd like your input here. Will the egg recall change your grocery shopping behavior? Will you be choosier when it comes to buying eggs next time? Let us know your thoughts and questions. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Our email. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. This is The Exchange. We'll be back in 1 minute. This hour on The Exchange, we're talking about the massive recall. 380 million eggs recalled this week, one of the largest shell egg recalls in recent history. Let's hear your opinion about it. Your questions, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. With us, Dr. Michael Pentella of the State Hygienic Laboratory at the University of Iowa. Also, Kevin Binchottel of the Iowa Egg and Iowa Poultry Association. Let me share this email from Jerome in Iowa City. Jerome writes, "You cram thousands of animals into windowless small spaces and people get sick. This is not rocket science. It's not humane. It's not good for the environment. It's not good for us." Kevin Binchottel, your reaction to that email from Jerome in Iowa City?
Well, to Jerome, I would say that the housing systems that we use today for layers have evolved over nearly a century of work by egg farmers. Back about the 1920s, you had mortality in flocks on the order of 40% to 50%, and egg farmers said, "This is not good. How can we improve this?" And what they discovered through nearly 100 years of research, and that includes the School of Hard Knocks coupled with university research, is when you get those birds up off the floor and separate them from manure, you see improved health of the birds, improved food safety. We're able to control the environment, protect them from predators, give them consistent feed and water. And now you see mortality of flocks down on the order of 5% or so. That's a dramatic improvement in care for the birds. So I would disagree with his assessment of the view of egg production.
Yesterday, the CEO of the Humane Society of the United States sent out a news release about this recall. The letter urges a long-term plan to phase out the cage confinement of hens. It's the Humane Society's stance on this is, quote, every recent scientific study shows confining hens in cages significantly increases salmonella risk. What's your reaction to that, Kevin? And I'd like to go to Dr. Pentella, too, on that point.
Well, Dr. Peter Holt, who is an immunologist with USDA's Ag Research Service, has indicated that, and honestly, I have not checked into the studies referred to in that release that came out. But what I do know is Dr. Holt has said that U.S. studies have shown exactly the opposite. And there may be some European studies that this person is referring to. We have to understand that comparing European systems to U.S. systems is not an appropriate way to draw conclusions. And in a new cage-free operation versus an old caged operation, that can impact results and things like that too. So to make a blanket statement that all the research out there indicates that is, in my view, incorrect. There's a thing called the National Animal Health Monitoring Surveillance Program, and I see nothing in this study, or excuse me, in the NOMS program, which indicates that they've reported anything that's alleged in that release. And I'm also aware of about two dozen peer-reviewed scientific journals that I know of that don't make the jump to food safety and housing systems. So for an organization to say that it is this way is something that I think is incorrect.
Dr. Pentella, let me get your view on this. The Humane Society, to repeat here, urges long-term phase-out of the confinement, cage confinement of hens, saying it increases salmonella risk. What does your science say about that?
Well, I am not familiar with the articles that are quoted in that statement, but from the perspective of the articles that I've seen, it doesn't support that. It leads to more salmonella, and there is by cage confinement. So I believe, as Kevin described, that it is a larger problem than that. And you can't just look at the producers. You have to look at the whole farm-to-table aspect.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to some of our callers. Carol is with us from Solon. Good afternoon, Carol. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you.
Yes, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, I was curious as to the Egg Council's promotion. Are you involved in promotion of organic eggs? And I also was quite surprised when I saw how many brands that the egg manufacturer was manufacturing under.
Okay.
You know, when I buy eggs that say they're from Pella, Iowa, I expect that they are from Pella, Iowa, and it just surprised me so much. But do you help in promotion of organics?
Let's go to that first one. Kevin Vinchetto, what about organics? You represent people with organic eggs as well as free-range eggs as well, right?
The organic eggs are not covered under our program, so we do not do those.
Why don't you cover organic eggs?
Well, typically, that's been something that's involved a different way, and it's two different styles, and the people involved in paying the Egg Council are involved. We do have some cage-free operations that pay the commodity checkoff. Typically, most of the people involved in the Iowa Egg Council program are those that have used the systems that have involved over the last century, as I've talked about, which are the modern housing systems.
Mm-hmm. You would expect after this egg recall, people giving more scrutiny to the type of eggs that they buy. I think that's a foregone conclusion. Do you anticipate, Kevin Vinchattel, people buying more free-range eggs, organic eggs?
Well, again, I would highly caution people not to think that a specific production method leads to one thing or another. In a cage-free or a free-range system, we have to understand that, let's take the rodent issue. I mean, rodent droppings are a known source of Salmonella enteritidis. And A lot of people think if you've got a really small backyard operation, that's going to be a safe egg. Well, what are you doing in that operation to prevent the interplay okay. of mice with the chicken, with their nests, with their feed, and things like that? We quickly jump to our romantic visions of our grandfather's agriculture and think that's the answer for everything. Well, you know, our grandfather's agriculture used houses that were not necessarily very tight and prevented the introduction of rodents or things like that. So, and again, as Dr. Pantella has referred to, it's not just a one thing. It's a whole system approach, and I don't think it's correct for us to assume that any one thing is always pristine this way and the other thing is never pristine this way. I think that's not correct.
Okay, let me make sure that Dr. Pantella can tell us what is the absolute. We assume now that the eggs out there that have not been recalled are safe for us, but to make absolutely sure we don't have any salmonella in our food, Dr. Pantella, what precautions should be taken with eggs?
There are several preventive precautions that you need to consider. First off, keeping your eggs refrigerated. That's less than 45 degrees Fahrenheit. And my question is, do you have a refrigerator thermometer? That's a very important tool for keeping all your food fresh. So keep a thermometer in your refrigerator. Make sure that your temperature is holding less than 45 degrees Fahrenheit. If you've got cracked or dirty eggs, toss them. Don't use them. And washing your hands, washing your cooking utensils, and keeping those food preparation areas clean. Just plain washing with soap and water after you've contacted with eggs or chicken is the appropriate thing to do when handling that food stuff. Eggs should be cooked until both the white and the yolk are firm, and then you eat them promptly after cooking. If you're going to keep them out, don't keep them out for more than 2 hours. Refrigerate whatever leftovers you have, and avoid raw eggs. And if you are going to be eating something that you think may have raw eggs, consider using pasteurized eggs products for
okay.
that.
No practices of Rocky Balboa in the future for food safety. Kevin Binchattel, we've got less than a minute left. I want you to comment. What do you think will happen to this company, Wright County Egg?
Well, I don't want to speculate on anything because we've got an ongoing investigation, and I think that's important for people to know. I think that tells consumers a couple of things. First of all, it tells them that there already is a mechanism in place that's looking out for food safety. And so I think it's important that we see what comes of this investigation and we analyze the results and we learn, can we do things better in the future? I asked the Department of Inspection and Appeals today if they could recall anything like this in the past. The person that was asked had been there 17 years, was unaware of anything. I've been in my chair for 13 years and never seen anything like this. So I think people need to remember that too. We're all about preventing things like this from happening. And so I think that track record hopefully speaks well of what we've done and what we'll continue to do.
Kevin Binchattel, thank you very much for participating in our program. Executive Director of the Iowa Egg Council and the Iowa Poultry Association. Thank you very much, Kevin.
My pleasure.
Dr. Michael Pantella, thank you very much. Associate Director of the Infectious Disease for the State Hygienic Laboratory at the University of Iowa. Thank you very much, Doctor.
Thank you.
And when we come back, we'll continue with Terry Childers, talk about the effect of recalls. Also, Jerry Flagel, president of the Iowa Grocery Industry Association. When we return, this is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. Great to have you with us over the noon hour on The Exchange. I'm Ben Kiefer. Is curling up with an electronic reader the same as curling up with a good book? Well, Monday at this time on The Exchange, we investigate the future of the printed book. For the first time, perhaps you caught this news, Amazon recently sold more e-books than hard copies. How do you see the future of reading and the book? Join us Monday on The Exchange over the noon hour here on Iowa Public Radio's news stream. This hour, we're talking about one of the largest shell egg recalls in recent history. Hundreds sickened across the country from a strain of salmonella linked to eggs apparently from an Iowa firm, Wright County Egg of Galt, Iowa. Thankfully, no deaths reported thus far. Joining me now, Professor Terry Childers, holding the Dean's Chair in Marketing at Iowa State University. Good afternoon to you, Professor Childers.
Hi, Ben.
Also joining us, Jerry Flagel, president of the Iowa Grocery Industry Association. He's also a person who owned and managed an independent grocery store in eastern Iowa for more than 20 years. Jerry Flagel, welcome to our program.
Good afternoon, Ben.
Before we talk about what consumers might be thinking, how this recall might affect what they buy at the grocery store, let's get a short sample of what people at the state fair are saying about this recall. Iowa Public Radio's Jonathan All sent this audio postcard of people eating their free hard-boiled egg on a stick at the Egg Council's popular booth.
My name is Kathy Tollinayer, and from Fairfield, Iowa. I've grown up on a farm, and we raised our own chickens and had our own eggs. And, you know, people that are there's no way for a contaminant to get inside an egg unless it comes from somebody handling it improperly and not washing the outside first. So I'm not at all concerned.
My name is Palmer Rhodes, and I'm from Pella. You know, out of how many billions of eggs produced, and they have maybe 100 deals, I mean, the percentage isn't there.
My name is Josh Sinclair, and I'm from West Des Moines, Iowa. That was the first time I heard of it, so no, not at all. It's great.
I'm Joe Scallon from Iowa Falls, and I'm an egg producer there. Been on the Iowa Egg Council in the past, passing out eggs here at the Egg Council booth. We have a lot of people asking about the recall, and I think they feel very confident, and they should, about the safety of these eggs. These eggs have been from farms that have been tested and proven safe.
Of course, not a scientific study, a random sample, and they are people who sought out hard-boiled eggs on a stick at the Iowa Egg Council's popular booth at the Iowa State Fair. We want to turn to Professor Childers, professor of marketing at Iowa State University. How do you think the egg recall will affect consumers' attitudes towards eggs, their consumption of eggs?
Well, I think in the short term, there's going to be an alarm and a concern over the quality and safety of the eggs, that people will perhaps not eat eggs at all, or they'll shift to other forms of eggs, non-shell type liquid eggs, organic potentially, as you discussed in the previous half hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll see a shift in the short term.
In the short term, and this is based on observations of past recalls in foods.
Yes, there are a few cases where the long-run effects have been very significant as a result of companies going out of business. But
for instance, can you point to other foodstuffs that have had recalls and had lasting dramatic effects?
Yes, the Peanut Corporation of America. You know, that was a major recall with peanuts in terms of all the different products they were within. As a result, PCA went bankrupt. There's the case of Perrier, and there was the finding that the water had benzene in it, and they lost 50% of their market share as a result of that. And 4 years after the event, they were still less than half of their sales prior to that.
Do you want to make any predictions about what will happen to this company, Galt, in Galt, Iowa?
Well, that would be, I think, a little bit beyond what I'm capable of doing.
Okay.
I think every situation is a little bit different.
Depending on how they handle it, what would be the best way to handle a recall in this situation if you're an egg producer?
Well, I think consistently it's better to be forthright. It's better to come to the table, admit that there's a problem, and try to be as honest as possible. I think the most effective cases, that's what's occurred. And I have to say, though, that it's important that you vary the message that you're communicating, because not all consumers eat eggs to the same degree. They don't all feel about eggs in the same way. It's like we talk about market segmentation. You really have to think about that when you're talking about how to handle a recall, as different people are going to need different kinds of information.
Mm-hmm. We want to reach out to our listeners in this last half hour to ask you to join our conversation. Will this egg recall change your grocery shopping behavior? Will you be choosier when it comes to buying eggs? Perhaps you're going to not buy eggs or buy fewer eggs. What are your thoughts and questions about safety in the food industry and also specifically about eggs? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Email us, The Exchange, at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. So, Professor Childers, do consumers after such an egg recall or after a food egg recall, do they generally stay away from a particular brand? Will people be staying away from all eggs or only the egg brands which were named in this recall?
I think the primary effect will be with the organizations that were selling the eggs. This is a little bit of a unique case because Wright County is not a brand that's well known to consumers. And so their ability to not buy a specific brand is something they can't actually point to. You know, these private branded eggs that are being sold in different supermarket chains. And I think it's the supermarket chains, unfortunately, that actually will probably get the brunt of any shift in behavior because that's the organization they most closely can attach to.
Okay. Jerry Flagle, that's a perfect dovetail to you, president of the Iowa Grocery Industry Association. Tell us, what are your thoughts when you this recall goes into action here from the viewpoint of grocery store owners?
Well, I would probably agree with the professor on a lot of the points that he's talked about. I think the effect for food stores and grocery stores will dovetail right back, as if they have sold these brands. You know, one of the challenges will be, and obviously, probably the product is completely off the shelf by now. Will be in getting the confidence in the consumer back. A lot of times they use different suppliers for each one of these brands because some of these are very large supermarkets, particularly on the West Coast, Safeway, Albertsons, and some of the others that are handling it. They use oftentimes 3, 4, 5 different egg suppliers. But because of this, you know, the confidence in their brand on that is going to be shaken. And that will be a challenge for them to restore on that. What you'll see is probably somewhat of a shifting from consumers, if they've got concerns, to organics or natural eggs on there. Interestingly, in Iowa, we don't think that the distribution of these eggs by Wright County Farms was probably really extensive.
Mm. Now, you mentioned organic eggs. Now, I've noticed in my grocery store, is it not true that this is a trend for people to choose cage-free organic eggs?
Well, you know, one of the things that stores will do is they'll offer what consumers want. And if consumers in a particular trade area want those, undoubtedly that food store is going to offer them on there. And, of course, a lot of that varies by you know, the area, so to speak. A lot of times in metropolitan areas, you'll have more of a demand for that. Rural areas, not so much.
Let's go to Eve in Coralville. Eve is joining our conversation by calling 1-866-780-9100. Good afternoon, Eve.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that's fine. You could speak up a little bit, but we're hearing you fine.
Okay. I went off of speaker.
There you go.
I was a raiser of chickens in my backyard and sold them locally. And the advantage of that short food chain was, first of all, I got enough money back from my customers that I could afford to have my animals immunized against all available diseases, and I was able to keep them in first-class accommodations. But also, I knew that my customers literally had my number. So if anything were wrong, I was going to hear about it immediately. And I would suggest that looking for people who are raising eggs that you can deal with person to person, whether it's in the farmer's market or by private treaty, is an excellent way to go because especially in the farmer's market, a dissatisfied customer has a way of making their point where a lot of other people can hear it. So anybody who's selling in the market is going to make sure that they keep their customers happy. So I think we have an alternative. The only problem I see is for people in inner cities where, in some cases, the best they have is a small convenience store.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Thank you for your perspective. Eve from Coralville, join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Jerry Flagel, what do you think about Eve's comments?
Well, I think Eve is very, very, you know, when she talked about making your customers happy, that's really what it is all about. And obviously, I'm sure she does a great job with that. I think stores also do a good job keeping their customers happy. One of the things with this recall is, you know, it's been very specific what's out there, what the dates are, what the codes are. In fact, at our website, iowagrocers.com, we have links to that, so any consumer could click on our news section and go and check that out, and that is ongoing. If that is expanded, we will be adding those new items to it. I think on that, transparency is best. If stores can tell you where the product come from and can take care of those problems in short order, I think the consumers are looking for that and are demanding that, as they rightfully should.
The eggs from these particular farms in Iowa that are under investigation came under a number of names in grocery stores across the country. To list a few of them, Lucerne, Ibertson, Mountain Dairy, Ralph's, Boomsma's, Sunshine, Hillendale, Farm Fresh, Shoreland, Lund, Dutch Farms, Kemp. Terry Childers, Professor Childers, what's likely to happen to these names? Are they going to be the names we continue to see on our egg cartons, or will they be marketed differently to avoid the baggage left by this contamination and recall?
Well, like I said, I think there's going to be a short-term effect, but unfortunately, there are so many recalls. You only have time to think about and react to one recall, and another one is coming right behind it. I took a look at the FDA's recall site, and in August, there have already been 20 recalls, and 11 of them are food-related recalls. We just had this 1 million pounds of beef recalled in California, just about the same time the egg recall started.
So the next recall that we have, this will be sort of pushed out of our mind, you're saying? In a month or two, we'll not think much about this egg recall.
Yes, unfortunately, we have become so, I think, immune to the effects that, you know, the long-term consequences, it just is not there.
I'd like you to join our conversation. Do you agree with that? Were you thinking about, making egg decisions based on this news of the egg recall this week in a month or two? Will you be buying fewer eggs in the near future or the long term? What are your thoughts and questions about egg safety and the food industry? 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org is our email. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. Jerry Flagel, president of the Iowa Grocery Industry Association. So how does a grocery store react to a recall? People coming in with their cartons of eggs that have been recalled, they're refunded their money. What happens at the grocery store? You'll get your money back as well from the supplier?
Well, yes. You know, that's the way the system works. First, you take care of the consumer, and then the store has either the eggs or the cartons that they've refunded back, and then they'll go back to their distributor for that. So very rarely is a grocery store going to be out the cost of that. So their incentive is to take care of the consumer, refund that money, and then they'll get credit back. And it's always not easy. It's a hassle, but it's one of those things that needs to be done. And unfortunately, as the professor mentioned earlier, recalls are becoming more and more commonplace all the time. I think a lot of it is because on a lot of recalls, the recall is done to err on safety. So stores are getting very used to handling recalls.
Mm-hmm. So the recalls, you say that you're seeing, as president of the Iowa Grocery Industry Association, more recalls, more frequent. They're becoming more frequent.
We're on an email alert system, and I mean, we'll get several each week, and some are on, and they try and be specific on which states they're distributing in, so forth like that. So one of the things that we try and do with our members is make sure our members have access to what items are being recalled in Iowa. And I would say our suppliers do a great job on that, too, because and oftentimes they even find out about it before the public does to pull product on there, too.
And you're saying what's driving this is not our food practices, food production practices, but extra precaution.
I believe so. And it's always better to err on the caution of recalls. I mean, just like this egg recall here, most of those eggs of the 380 million, I would believe, are probably out of the system now. I mean, this is over a 2 or 3 month period, and eggs don't stay in stores that long. They would probably stay in a store usually no longer than 7 to 10 days. I mean, it's a perishable product. The stores need to continually turn on there, so they usually don't stay on the store shelves very long.
Where do these eggs go? Are they in dumpsters all across the country?
You mean when they're returned on a recall?
Yep. Off the shelves or returned from customers?
I would imagine that they probably are dumped probably at the store level. They've got to be destroyed so they can't be used again.
Okay, Jeff is joining us from Waverly. Good afternoon, Jeff. A few minutes left of our program. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd like to echo that lady's comments from Coralville. I think the distribution lines are getting too long. Every time it's trucked, it doesn't go from point A to point B. There's a lot of changes in between, and there's always, that makes more chances of eggs setting out on a dock or what have you. Same way with the beef and the lettuce recalls we've had too. And when your chain gets to be too long, you're going to have breaks.
Interesting, Jeff. You seem to be surprised, as I was, to see all the places in the country that eggs from Iowa reach. That's surprising. And then we see a little bit of the transparency here, isn't it, Jeff?
Well, yes. We're you talked to the Secretary of Agriculture. We are the top egg producing state in the nation, so they do get shipped all over, but a lot of miles go on those eggs for really cheap eggs.
All right, Jeff.
We get what we pay for sometimes.
Jeff, will this change your buying habits for eggs?
Well, no, because I raise my own eggs, so and I sell at farmers' market. So,
okay. Do you expect an uptick in people interested in your eggs at the farmers' market?
I don't know if there'll be an uptick because they don't normally buy on this type of a chain anyway. So,
all right. A different type of customer. Thank you, Jeff, from Waverly. Let's quickly go to Amy in Iowa City. Good afternoon, Amy. What's your comment?
Hi. Well, I have a question. I think when we hear about these recalls, we immediately panic and assume everybody's going to die if they eat an egg with salmonella in it. And I guess what are the precautions? Like, if somebody had eggs and, you know, does cooking kill salmonella? What are the actual facts about it?
Yeah, I think you probably would need to go to a website. We had the professor from the Hygienics Laboratory on the first half hour. He was talking about things about keeping the eggs at a – don't let them set out, keeping them at a proper temperature, at least 45 degrees, no higher than 45 degrees in your refrigerator and so forth. But I'm sure on the web there's a lot of information about how to prevent that. And, of course, cooking thoroughly is a nice precaution to take, Amy.
Okay, and I guess that's just what I wanted to say is I think people get panicky, and if they really just knew the facts, then maybe they wouldn't panic as much and realize that, you know, this isn't like a life or death situation, but there's a lot of things that can be done.
Okay, thank you very much, Amy from Iowa City. A quick comment before we have to go. Terry Childers, quickly, do you see any lasting effects of this egg recall on the marketing, selling of eggs around the state, around the country?
Well, I just wanted to add to your previous call-in that, you know, there are 5,000 food board deaths a year in the United States, so there are some severe consequences. We haven't seen any yet, and I think as long as we don't see that kind of severity through the product recall, that things will get back to normal on a fairly quick basis.
Jerry Flagel, president of the Iowa Grocery Industry Association. You see any lasting effects? How will this change things in our grocery stores, if at all?
I don't think it probably will change very much. I think it would be very short term. The only thing that I would put a caveat on that is if this becomes a rolling recall, if it continues to have more and more and more. If it doesn't, I think the consumers will, you know, will get the problems fixed. They'll get the confidence back and we'll go on there, but if it continues to roll, that all bets are off on that.
Mm-hmm. What would be indications that it would continue to roll?
Well, yeah, I think if you find out that I call the Peanut Corporation of America, where, you know, it was actually used as ingredients in products, and then those products start getting recalled, that would be significant.
Okay, so if it stays out of the news headlines, then it stops rolling. Otherwise, if we have more things, and of course the pending investigation, the outcome of the FDA investigation of these egg farms as well. Going to have a big input here. I want to thank you very much, Jerry Flagel, president of the Iowa Grocery Industry Association. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me on, Ben.
And Professor Terry Childers holds the Dean's Chair in Marketing at Iowa State University. Thank you very much, Professor Childers.
My pleasure, Ben. Thank you.
The Exchange is produced by Alex Hoyer and Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Lindsay Moon. Technical support from Dennis Reese. And the executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Jeff Schmidt. We want to thank John Pemble in Des Moines for helping us out as well. Podcasting and on-demand audio of The Exchange, available by going to iowapublicradio.org. We enjoy your comments, questions. Perhaps you have a suggestion for a show that we should look into something. You can contact us anytime. The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. Have a great weekend. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.